Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. One means you get to ask one question, okay? Please don't take 30 minutes to ask your question. Please don't say, well, I have five, but I'll make them all into one long question. Just get on, ask your question. I'd love to hear how you found out the ministry and all that good stuff. And I have no problem praying with people and all that, but please don't call and say, can you interpret a dream or I need deliverance? Call with a question because that's the point of the show. We have other times where we do the deliverance. Last Thursday at our 1:30 p.m. prayer call, we did mass deliverance and it was powerful. So we have other times where we do deliverance and prayer like that, but right now is going to be our call in Q&A. So in about 20 seconds, there's going to be a phone number on screen and a meeting ID. If you're inside the United States, you need to call the phone number. Okay, and then you type in the meeting ID once you call. If you're outside the United States, you need to open up your Zoom app right now and you need to type in the meeting ID. If you're outside the US, go on through Zoom. If you're inside the US, call the number and then type in the meeting ID. And we give people time because the Zoom people get in first, but we give everyone, all the callers, the same amount of time before we lock the meeting. So we get calls, then we lock the meeting and lines are full. If I leave the lines open the whole time, you're just gonna be sitting on hold and never get your question answered. So that's why we lock the meeting. All right, are you guys ready? Are your fingers ready and dialed in? Yep, everybody's ready. Okay, let's talk supernatural. Here we go. The number is on screen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray today, Lord, touch people, change people's lives, move in people's hearts. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do today in Jesus' name. There's the lines, guys. There's the lines. Call, call, call. Meeting ID's on screen. Maybe I should stop talking so you could actually focus on the numbers. All right, I'm holding my finger on the lock button. There's already people getting in. You guys are fast. If you got through last week, give people a chance to call that haven't got in. All right, once the callers get in, we're locking it. Hopefully people's calls don't drop like last week. Apparently there was like, I don't know, outages or something. Who knows? All right, waiting for the callers, waiting for the callers. There they are. They're coming in. Okay, it's locked. It's locked. It's locked. The lines are closed. The lines are full. You know what? I need to change this. I know what I need to do. I need to change this to the lines are closed because the lines are full. People are like, how do I call in? Oh, why isn't it letting me change it? Here we go. How's this? The lines are closed. Hopefully people get the hint when they're like, where's the number? How do I call? I guess lines are full isn't good. All right, here we go. Let's take our first caller. This is going to be good. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, I can't believe I got in.
You are the first one in today. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
Yes, so excited. My name is Stacy and I'm calling from Michigan.
Welcome, Stacy. Thank you for calling. And what's going on today?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for your ministry. It's impacted my husband and I tremendously. I'm sorry for the baby in the background.
No worries. I got four kids, so I don't mind the baby crying. It's totally cool.
Anyway, I just, yeah, thank you so much. It's been a huge blessing to us. And the deliverance map, being able to meet up with people.
Awesome.
My question is, my husband and I were both raised in a very legalistic religion. I don't know if you've ever heard of the United Pentecostal Church International.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a little background. I've gone through a lot of hurt with my family and worked really hard to forgive them. Fast forward to now, under our current circumstances, my husband and I and our kids are living with my parents temporarily. And so what my question is and what I'm struggling with is forgiving them. I've worked really hard to forgive them, but I feel like it's a daily struggle. And their spirit of religion is very hard to be in the same household with. And so I'm struggling on, okay, is this just normal? Because they have such a strong spirit of religion, is that something that I just am going to have to daily pray against? Or should it not be bothering, should it not bother me this much? Is it something in me that I need to get over, more forgiveness? Or is it because it's such a strong spirit of religion, it's always going to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The bottom line is the hardest people to deal with when it comes to opposing beliefs is usually family, right? It's very hard. Sometimes when you're talking to people that aren't family, they have more respect for you, or maybe you have more respect for them. But when you're familiar with someone, especially if you've come out of, like, let's say a religious background, which I don't know all the beliefs of the UP, I think it's the UPCI. I don't know the full beliefs of it. And every church obviously varies from church to church. So this is not a blanket statement for the entire movement, because I don't know all the details of the entire movement. But it's really hard when you have family that have opposing views. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Sorry, we're losing the stream here. Everyone's glitching out. All right, guys, stay on. The internet's going in and out, but we'll get it fixed. It's really hard to deal with, but I've come to realize if you're living with somebody, usually you need to just respect what they believe and honestly not even talk about religion. Because every time you end up talking about it, every time you end up debating it, it creates a wedge, it creates confrontation, it creates fighting. So for me, my advice would be is to just be respectful towards them and talk about religion or God as little as possible. Hey, you guys have your beliefs. I have my beliefs. We're not going to see eye to eye on this. We're not going to agree on this. I don't want there to be contention. I don't want there to be drama. I don't want there to be weirdness between us, between the grandkids, none of that. So we're going to do what we do. You guys do what you do. And you just pray for them. That's it. You know, because debating, arguing, going back and forth on doctrine, on things like the Trinity and things like, hey, should women be able to wear pants or not? Is makeup okay? Should we have to put our hair up? The different things. I know some of the UPCI believes. It's really a hard battle to fight because it's all just argument. It's all just word. And unless God shows them or reveals himself to them, it's going to be really hard to just win this battle with just arguing and talking, especially because you're family, you're familiar. So it's hard to get that level of respect when you're familiar with somebody. But really, I would say respect them, honor them, talk about religion and God as minimal as possible, especially because it's volatile that you're living with them right now, and kind of just let bygones be bygones. Let them do what they're doing. You do what you're doing. And it's not like, you know, there's people that are in, let's just say, religion. I don't know that they are. I'm just saying, let's just say that they're in religion. A lot of people that are in that religious mindset, they're still saved. They're still going to go to heaven. They have wrong beliefs about God or some right beliefs about God. But if they believe in the finished work of the cross, if they put their faith in Christ, if they're following Jesus, then they are still going to be saved. So it's not necessarily a salvation issue. When we get into topics like, for example, I believe the UPCI doesn't believe that women should wear pants. Is that right? Is that like what they are?
Yeah. So the bigger issue, it's not even the standards and all their things they call it. It's honestly the primary and secondary issues you talk about. They actually don't, like, they believe they have the only way to salvation. So they're... Okay. Doctrine is oneness. They don't believe in the Trinity. And then you have to speak in tongues and be baptized in Jesus' name in order to have salvation. Like, it's very black and white for them.
Yeah. And that's hard because I don't even want to get into that because it's a whole can of worms I'm going to open. And I know I don't want to get into it. No, it's fine. I know the whole Trinity thing and that you have to speak in tongues or you're not saved is a whole thing. But I would honestly just avoid it, avoid the conversation, avoid talking about it, and just try to live with each other in peace until you're able to find a place. And again, honoring, you know, we have to honor our parents, but we also have to honor the people that we're living with, that they own the house and we're under their roof. And so it's probably going to get a lot better once you're out of the house, once you're in a different place, the relationship will probably get a lot better. It's just like you guys are all in one house. So it's hard to escape sometimes the conversations or the standards or the fighting and stuff like that. So I totally see how that's possible. My pastor right now came out of the UPC. And he had all of that, the oneness and the legalism and the hyper religion, certain things that are hyper religious. But again, I'm not speaking for the whole movement because I don't know all the details and every church varies, even in the UPC. Is it UPCI?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. United Pentecostal. Is it like international? Okay. So yeah, it varies.
Church
but
international. Yeah.
Yeah. I would just avoid the conversation and, kind of move on when it comes to that and just try to not harbor any unforgiveness. That's the biggest thing is like, you've probably already heard this, but unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. It really only hurts us when we have unforgiveness. So the only one that's being stifled by it is us. And so I would just say, let it go and kind of avoid the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. That is the hardest battle, but thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you. Bless you.
All right. God bless you. Everybody in here that has family with opposing beliefs knows how hard it is with family. Sometimes, well, usually harder than just people that we meet on the street or people we're friends with, because there's a level of familiarity. So it's hard to like talk to them. It's hard for them to receive from you. So yeah, totally makes sense what she's going through. And again, I don't want to speak for the whole movement. I know there's a lot of people from the UPCI that follow me, and I don't know all their doctrines. I could look into it. I should look into it, but I definitely don't know all the details. So I'm slow to speak on movements or doctrines or denominations that I don't know about, because I don't want to misrepresent anybody and say something that they don't believe to shed them into a bad light. So that's why if I'm silent about certain denominations or beliefs, or I'm vague, it's because I don't know, and I don't want to be out here spreading false information. So, all right, let's take the next caller here. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, my live is off, so I didn't know if I made it on the call.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
How are you?
Yes, hi. My name is Nora, and I'm calling in from Chicago, Illinois.
Awesome. What's going on today?
So I got saved during COVID, and God set me free from anxiety, but then I fell into distraction. And he told me to fast, in which I have been fasting for a span of 3 days. And now it's like ever since then, sometimes he said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. So I cut out social media, but I recently, sometimes I accidentally watch two videos, it's not demonic or anything, but it's just like for entertainment purposes. And then I get these thoughts like, oh no, you messed up again. So God can't save you. Or since you did this, like you can't do the things that God has called you to do. And I was wondering if you had any advice, because I've been, I want to go into the deeper things of God, but it's like no matter like how much I pray, or even when I spend time at 7 a.m. reading the Word of God, I always find myself just watching, like I could scroll on Instagram for 15 minutes and I feel like I have to start over with the whole relationship of just seeking God, because I used to have a passion and desire for the things, but now I feel like I don't. So do you have any advice for that?
Okay, so I'm having a little bit trouble hearing you, but let me see if I got what you're saying. So you said you've been fasting, you got off of social media, but then you watched like one or two videos that weren't bad, just for entertainment, and you're feeling like condemned, and there's like a voice basically telling you you're messing up, you've lost your relationship with God, sometimes like what, you're not saved, God can't use you, and so you're battling this voice that's condemning you while you're still trying to fight temptation and serve God. Is that kind of what you said? I'm having a little bit trouble hearing you.
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, I would say, have you ever been through any type of deliverance or anything like that?
No. I got saved when I was a teenager, and my family didn't believe in the things of God, and I didn't have any churches near me, so.
Okay. So you were.
I did try to get deliverance.
How old are you now?
I'm now 20.
You're 20 right now?
Yes.
Okay, so you got saved as a teenager, but your family didn't believe in God, and you haven't been through deliverance. I would say, to me, number one, those voices are lying. You know, we're under the grace of God. You're definitely, if you're watching, like you said, you watched a couple Instagram videos for entertainment, that's not going to take away your salvation, right? You are saved. God has a calling for you. God has a plan for you. You're not condemned. You don't have to live under condemnation. You don't have to live under that fear of losing your salvation. God has given you an assurance of your salvation because you put your faith in Him. Salvation is not about what we do or what we've done. It's about what Jesus did on the cross and what Jesus has done in our life, or Jesus has done on the cross. And now we receive what He's done on the cross. We believe in it. And that transforming power, that resurrection power resides in us and gives us the ability to say no to our sinful nature. He gives us the power to overcome our sinful nature. But salvation is not about what we've done. It's about what Christ has done. So I don't think you can lose your salvation like you lose your car keys or like, oh, I watched a video, I lost my salvation. Now, I do believe you can turn from the faith. I do believe you can serve the devil and not be saved after having been saved. So I do believe in that. But I don't believe like where you're hearing a voice saying, you know, you're not saved, God can't use you because you watched a couple of videos on Instagram. That is not God. That's not God's plan. That's not the Bible. That's the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy brings condemnation. He brings anxiety. He brings shame. He lies to you. And the reason why he's lying to you is he's trying to discourage you from serving God, right? So if the devil's telling you right now, you know, you're not saved, God can't use you because, like, for example, you watched an Instagram video that wasn't even bad, it was entertainment, then that is him discouraging you. Now you're thinking, well, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I can't be saved. Maybe I'm going to hell. Maybe God can't use me. Maybe God doesn't have a plan for me. So now we come into agreement with the enemy, and the devil is the father of lies. That's what the Bible says. So he uses his demons to lie to us to get us out of the will of God and to bring condemnation. But the Bible says there's therefore no condemnation for them that are in Christ who walk according to the Spirit. So you're not condemned. That's a lie from the enemy. So I would say, maybe, not 100%, but maybe you need some deliverance. If you're hearing an actual voice condemning you, lying to you, making you doubt your salvation when you're not even doing anything wrong, you love God, you believe in Christ, you believe in the work he did on the cross, you want to serve him, you know, you have the faith to believe it, so you are saved, but the enemy's lying, trying to tell you that you're not. He's trying to, you know, steal your inheritance and lie to you to get you discouraged. So I do want to pray for you if you don't mind. And really just pray that God would break that. But I also want you to check out our deliverance map, deliverancemap.com. Look to see if you can find someone in your area to meet up with that will pray deliverance over you. Because I do believe you probably need to go through some type of deliverance. If you're hearing a voice, then there might be some deliverance that needs to take place. But I want you to know from my mouth, those are lies from the enemy. That is not God. God wants to give you life and peace and joy and wholeness and confidence in your salvation. And he wants you to be bold as a lion and on fire. He doesn't want you being like, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not. No, you are. You put your faith in Christ. You believe in Jesus. You've been born again. You're trying to please him. You're fasting. You're praying. You're reading the word. You don't need to be condemned. And also, there's nothing wrong with watching entertainment or watching a movie or going out and having fun at the park or going and playing a sport. None of that's wrong. What's wrong is if those things become your God. So if you're praying and you're reading and fasting, it's fine to watch an entertaining thing on Instagram or watch a video that you like or a sport game or whatever it is you're into. I don't know. But it's not sinful or wrong to do that. It's sinful and wrong when those things become your idols. So that's what you need to worry about. Is like, is this an idol in my life? Am I watching TikTok for 8 hours a day and never praying? That's the problem. But the problem isn't just watching a few videos. That's fine. You know, it's fine to have hobbies and do things and enjoy life. It's just we want to make sure that those things aren't becoming our idols and aren't becoming our gods. But for sure, if you're watching like a video on Instagram and then a voice is telling you you're not saved now, and you're like, you're saying it's not even a bad video, then that is not the voice of God. So does that kind of make sense? I know I'm kind of all over the place, but trying to answer it the best I can.
Yeah, that does make sense. And I think I do need deliverance in some type of way because it's not just specifically thoughts of anxiety, but like I could watch some person and I just get immense lustful thoughts that I don't want or anything to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably then, if you're getting, like you said, those lustful thoughts you don't want and you're getting those, you know, voices that are talking to you, I would definitely go through deliverance. Those are some main signs that there's a demon there. And if there's not a demon there, at least you got prayer. But I definitely think there needs to be some deliverance. But I also want to pray for you right now. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
And did you say your name was Laura? I couldn't hear too well.
It's Nora, N-O-R-A.
Nora, is that right? Okay, so let's all pray for her. Chat, everyone right now, just start praying for Nora. Father, I thank you so much for Nora, God, for what you're doing in her life. God, the boldness you're giving her, the hunger you're giving her, the desire to serve you. I just pray right now that the voice of condemnation would be silenced. I pray the voice of guilt and shame would be silenced. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon her right now, God. Lord, I pray you'd remove anxiety. Your word says you give perfect peace whose mind is set on you. Your word says that you give peace that surpasses understanding. So Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the King of Peace. And Father, I pray that the peace of God would reign in her heart as the word of God says. God, I pray right now, the peace of God would reign in Nora's heart. I pray all of these voices would be silenced. We command the devil to shut his mouth. We command every demonic spirit to be quiet. You have no power. You have no authority over her. You must leave her in Jesus' name. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, move right now. God, I just pray, move right now in her life. Lord, just release your power over her. Anoint her, God, right now. Set her free, Lord, I pray, from the chains and the bondages of shame, of guilt, of condemnation, of lies, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your anointing and just move in her life right now. No more fear, no more anxiety, no more condemnation. You've been set free from condemnation in Jesus' name. We look to the cross in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sister. Check out the deliverance map, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless you. Have a good day.
God bless.
Take care. Okay, guys, yes, we're having issues with our internet. It's cutting in and out. I'm aware of that. So if you get kicked out, just refresh and come back. We're not off yet. If I disconnect completely and the stream's gone, it's because my internet went out. But right now we're having outages. There's, I don't know, it's supposed to be like a little storm coming, which in California, that basically means 5-mile-an-hour winds. You know, 5-mile-an-hour winds, the power goes out in California. But there, we're back. Okay, so refresh and we will be good to go. It is frustrating. I see the little red thing, internet going out, internet going in, but looks like we're still live. So just refresh the feed and we'll be good. All right, let's take our next caller. We're going to load him in on Zoom. Guys, if you're calling in via Zoom, make sure you turn your microphone on, please. When I load you in, it's going to ask you to turn your mic on. So make sure you do that. Mateo, how are you?
Hello, Isaiah.
What's going on? Where are you calling in from?
I'm from Mexico.
Mexico. Hey, thanks for calling in. What's going on today, bro?
I was wondering if the four temperaments are biblical.
Say it again, though. What was that?
The four temperaments, like the sanguine, choleric. Temperaments.
What are those? I don't even know what that is.
Like sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholic.
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of that in my life. What is that from? Where did you learn that from?
Well, it's like to categorize people. Like if you are more like a leader, you're a sanguine. If you are more reserved, you're a melancholic. But I saw like your video about the Enneagram.
Oh, you're saying temperaments, like the four temperaments.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, it's, I mean, are you, is it like a personality test that you're taking to see what you are?
Not exactly, but the other time I was taking one, but like in the options to choose like a test, there was an Enneagram test, and I don't know if those two are related or something.
Yeah, the Enneagram was invented by an occultist, and it has a lot of new age principles, new age ideas, new thought practices. So the Enneagram is definitely not biblical. And I know everybody's trying to categorize people. I don't know about the four temperaments. I've never really heard of those, but I know what you're talking about, like melancholy and all those things that you're saying, the type of personalities. I don't know that it's wrong to be like, I'm like this, because everybody is going to fit into one of those categories, but I wouldn't read about it. I wouldn't practice it. I wouldn't be buying books, and I wouldn't be telling people like, you're a four, you're a three, this temperament, that temperament, because we're all made in the image of God, but we're all distinctly designed. And a lot of those tests, like for example, the Enneagram, it gives you what? I don't know, 9, 10, whatever it is, numbers, and everybody falls into one of those numbers. So there's no one that falls outside of it. And that's kind of just sounds like what you're talking about. The temperaments is these are just different categories to say you're like this and you're like that. You're a leader. You know, you're a type A personality, type B. It's not wrong to say that, like you're a type A personality. I mean, if you are, you are, but I wouldn't start like reading books or creating a whole doctrine about it or studying like the Enneagram, for example. And the Enneagram, for example, is definitely bad because again, it was made by an occultist and it's new age. So it was created by a spiritual occultist. So that's why I would stay away from that. But if you're just telling somebody, hey, you're a leader, hey, you're this, you're that, I don't see anything wrong with that. Just, I wouldn't start studying it.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. The problem is like, my system of the school is a Christian system, but in those places, that's what the books are called, and they teach about the temperaments. And like in a section that is called actually wisdom. So and it says something like, "Estin, the temperaments help you to see the uniqueness of like that God created you, and like that." And I don't know. I just didn't want to.
And this is Christian curriculum.
Yes.
Is it ACE? Is it the School of Tomorrow?
Yes, ACE.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. I did ACE growing up. My kids actually do ACE right now. It's all Bible-based curriculum. Yeah. My kids are all doing ACE. And we actually had ACE. I had an orphanage for a while in the Philippines, and we used ACE curriculum. So my kids are doing the same books I did growing up. It's very old school. It hasn't changed in like 30, 40 years. But they do paces like that with Ace is the kid, right? The boy. And then there's a dog. I forgot the dog's name. But
I think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think if you're, like I said, making a practice or a doctrine over it, or you're getting an Enneagram, then that's wrong. But yeah, people have different temperaments. I don't think that's wrong to be like, hey, this person's this temperament, this person's that temperament.
Okay. I was just scared. I was like getting into something occultist or something like that.
Yeah, no, the paces are legit. I did them growing up, and then I looked through all my kids' stuff, and they're legit.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye.
God bless you. Yeah, a lot of people here was like, I did paces too. I did all the paces growing up. It's so funny, guys, because my kids doing homework with them, it's the same paces I did growing up. They have not changed one word in them. They're just very old school. If you've done ACE, you know your handwriting's got to be perfect. The whole thing. You learn cursive, and they have the Bible scriptures in, you know, every single page, which is cool. Yeah, unfortunately, our internet's going in and out. We're losing people. People are coming back. But hey, if you get disconnected, just get back on or refresh. The servers are going out on my streaming software, YouTube. I don't know, but it's cutting in and out, which is annoying. All right, so let's go to the next caller here. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello?
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, I can't believe I got in. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking on my iPad and it's like 8 seconds behind. So I'm like, are you talking to me?
Yeah. It's delayed. When you're watching from the YouTube, it takes people a little while to get connected on here.
Okay. How are you, Isaiah?
I'm good. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
My name is Tabitha. I'm calling from Virginia.
Tabitha from Virginia. Well, thank you for calling. What's going on today?
Yes. Thank you. I first just want to say, God bless you. Your ministry has immensely changed my life. But I'm so nervous. I don't even know what to say. But
you're good. No worries.
I'm just so excited to be in and be able to talk to you. Your ministry has been such a blessing. I listen to your sister's ministry as well.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I'm just
so grateful for both of you and your ministry.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But I had a few questions, or really just one I can ask. It's kind of about deliverance.
Okay.
Which I learned about from your channel. I didn't know about it. But so recently, like maybe a couple weeks ago, I did a 3-day fast. And on the second day, I know Isaiah 58 talks about going out and, you know, feeding the homeless if you can. So I went out to feed the homeless, and there is a lady out there. It was a lady and 3 other men out there. And I asked her if she wanted something to eat, and she asked if I would pray for her. She kind of looked me up and down, and I parked my car, and I prayed for her. She looked like she might have been addicted to, like, either alcohol or something. She was kind of fidgety or whatever. So I prayed for her, and during the prayer, she started manifesting. She started like growling, and I was so confused. I opened one eye and I looked, because that literally has never happened to me before. And there were 2 other people that I was praying with also. We were like in a circle praying. I asked them if they wanted prayer, and I just had a question of what would I do in that situation, because I felt like she needed deliverance, but I've never ever done deliverance on anyone before. I've had a personal deliverance from just listening to your videos and fasting and doing the things you said that you had done, like getting rid of things in your home. they're not godly and that kind of thing. But I was just so confused and a little bit scared at the same time, because I'm usually out by myself doing this type of thing. And my husband, he's a Christian, but he doesn't go to church or anything. And I came home and talked to him about it. And he told me I don't need to go out by myself, but I really don't have anybody that I could go out with, because even in my like church community, they don't really talk about deliverance. And when you bring it up, it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not like how when you're talking about it, it's kind of like,
oh, sister, I know.
Everyone kind of knows about
yeah,
it, but
I know what you're saying. Trust me. Yeah.
I just was wondering what should I have done in that situation, and what do you think would be a good way to go about that, if I'm going out to, like, whether it's pray with people, because I know Jesus sent people out in twos, but I really don't have anyone that I feel that I would be able to go out with.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say number one, first thing is being led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're praying for somebody like her, and she's manifesting, that's where you really have to be led by the Holy Spirit and go like, Lord, is this something you want me to pray for her right now to be delivered? Or should I try to calm it down? If I was praying for a female and I was a female in the park and she's like a homeless lady and she starts mildly manifesting like that, I probably would try to pray deliverance over her. I probably would start commanding, you know, just I command all these things to leave her now. I would just say a very general deliverance prayer over her. And then see what happens. But if it was a guy and you're by yourself in a park, I definitely wouldn't try to pray deliverance over him, because oftentimes it does get violent and, you know, you're by yourself. I mean, I don't know. I'm hesitating what I tell you right now, because I usually don't recommend doing deliverance alone. So that's why yeah. I would just caution you being led by the Holy Spirit, because you might be out there and the Holy Spirit might say, no, I want you to pray deliverance over her right now. And then you're like, well, Isaiah says, don't be alone in praying for people deliverance. But it's like, hey, the Holy Spirit told you. So I don't ever want like my voice to be in your head when the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you. So number one is like, of course, being led by the Holy Spirit trumps everything else. In that situation, I would have just, you know, it would just depend on the situation, what the Holy Spirit was saying. But I would definitely ask the Holy Spirit, like, is this something you want me to pray now? But you could also just calm it down and being like, hey, I command this spirit to be quiet. You have no power over her. I cancel your assignment in Jesus' name. Like, you can say something more general like that, as opposed to really trying to get the demon out of her. It is honestly very hard to get demons to actually leave people that are on the street or people that aren't Christian or people that don't really know God, because the demon doesn't have to leave. It has a legal right to her. She's whatever she's doing, right? I don't want to assume and start saying she's doing drugs and drinking, but likely she probably is doing some of those things. So she's opening the door, giving the demon a legal right. And really, demons don't have to leave just because you command them to leave if they have a right to be there. So that would be sometimes why it would be so hard. But some people on the street want to be free. They want to be delivered. They're ready. And you can do deliverance on them right there and then present the gospel to them once they're like, what is going on? Then you can be like, hey, this is Jesus delivering you. You can kind of explain the gospel to them. It opens the door. But at the end of the day, you just got to use discretion. You have to use wisdom. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it's not always the right time to do a deliverance. Like, even Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda stepped over sick people to get to the one man to heal the one man. Jesus didn't heal all those people at the Pool of Bethesda. He stepped over them and healed the one man. So those even times where Jesus wasn't healing every single person that was around him that was sick, even though he healed everyone that was sick that came up to him, he wasn't going out, like, for example, at the Pool of Bethesda and just healed every single person. So sometimes it's not the right place or time to pray, let's say, deliverance over somebody. So that's something where you have to just wait on God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and be led. As far as going out by yourself and praying for people or like ministering to people, I would say it's fine. Just be careful where you're going. I wouldn't put yourself in danger, you know, put yourself in harm's way. I would probably connect with someone on the deliverance map and say, hey, do you want to go out with me and pray for people? Do you want to go out with me and feed the homeless? Or try to connect with somebody maybe in your local church, or maybe trying to find a local church where you can get around some believers that will go with you. But I would say it is important to go out two by two or with somebody. It's just safer. You have accountability. You have someone with you if anything happens. It could get dangerous going out into rough areas where there's like, you know, 10 homeless guys at the park and you're the only lady and you're out praying for them and they start manifesting demons, you know. It could just get really dangerous really fast. So I would say use discretion on that. But in that situation, I would have probably prayed over her and just said, I command these demons, you know, to leave her. I cancel your assignment, Satan. You know, she's not yours. You can't have her. And just pray more of a general prayer than like a long deliverance prayer.
Okay, and I was thinking that I was just so caught off guard that that happened. I was like, is she manifesting? Like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, and you know, you were praying, the power of the Holy Spirit was moving, and that demon was threatened by you. I mean, that's the bottom line. The demon was threatened by what was happening. So most Christians have never seen anybody manifest. They've never prayed deliverance over anyone because, I mean, honestly, the demons aren't afraid of them. The demons aren't threatened by them. Most Christians would never even pray for someone to get delivered. So if I have a demon and some lukewarm Christians praying for me, like, I'm not threatened by them. But someone like you, where you're, you know, you're sitting there in the Holy Ghost and you're praying and you're learning about deliverance and you're coming with spiritual authority, yeah, those demons recognize you just like they recognize Jesus, you know, just like the sons of Sceva in Acts 19, the demon said, Peter, I know, Paul, are you, I know, but who are you? So demons do know us. Like, that's biblical in Acts 19. And the demons didn't know the sons of Sceva because they were commanding the demons out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches about. So they didn't really have a relationship with God. They were just using his name without having a relationship. But the demons knew Peter and Paul. And the demons obviously know you because they're manifesting as you're praying for her. So definitely, it kind of opens your eyes to how real it is.
Yeah, I was just like in total shock, but I know I've been delivered, you know, and just watching your channel has really, really helped me out. A whole
That's
lot
awesome.
And it just feels weird, you know, going to church and nobody's really talking about it, and I'm like, I'm 35, but I'm like the youngest leader, more of an older church, so it's just so strong in my heart, and I just feel kind of alone a little bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, thank you so much, Isaiah, and if you don't mind, would you mind just praying for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything specific you needed prayer for?
Just strength, boldness, and just encouragement.
Yep, absolutely. Father, I thank you so much for my sister, Lord. I thank you, God, for what she's doing, the ministry you've given her, that, Lord, she's not loving people in just word and in tongue, but in deed and in action. As your word says, you say, Lord, not just to love people in word, but actually put action behind it. And that's what she's doing. And I pray, God, that you'd bring the right people around her. I pray you'd bring people around her that want to reach people, that want to go out and feed the homeless, that want to go out and pray for the sick. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, bring the right people around her. Give her the strength. Give her the encouragement. Give her the boldness, God, that lives are being changed, that people's lives are being touched by her going out and praying for them. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you'd give her Holy Spirit boldness, that, God, that you'd go before her, that you'd prepare the way, and that you would just touch her and bless her right now. In Jesus' name, we bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Isaiah. God bless you.
God bless you, sister. And I want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. Here's the bottom line. The people that you're out reaching at the park or wherever you're going, it's likely they've never had someone pray for them before. Like, I never, you know, I got saved at 19. I never in 19 years had anybody walk up to me and say, hey, can I pray for you? Never in 19 years have I had that happen. So the people you're praying for, they're never going to forget when you pray for them. They're never going to forget when you're feeding them. Likely they don't have people doing that for them. So be encouraged. You're changing lives and you're storing up treasures in heaven. You're on the right track. And I just want to encourage you with that.
Thank you so much, Isaiah.
God bless you. Hope to meet you someday.
God bless you. You too.
God bless. Take care. Awesome. Really good question. Yeah, guys, if you get kicked out or whatever, just refresh the page. I don't know. I'm as frustrated as you guys. My little bar is like red and green. The internet goes in and out. I don't know if it's my program's messed up. It doesn't look like we're cutting out. I had it open on my phone, but I am seeing like we had 1,000 people. Now we have 600. Then we go to 900. Then we go to 500. So I know something's happening on the servers because, yeah, it's cutting in and out. Cutting out here too a lot. Yeah, it's frustrating. So I don't know. The devil's a liar. It is what it is. I've learned that I can't be frustrated over these things and get me in a bad mood because it's just, I'm live. It's part of being live. Yeah, it's going in and out. It's unfortunate. All right, let's bring in the next person. Where did my Zoom go? There it is. I think this is caller 5. I'm not sure. Irene, how are you? Can you hear me? Irene, are you there? I can't hear you. Hello. We'll give her a second, guys. I see her microphone's on, but I heard a little slight something. It's lagging like crazy. Yeah, it's frustrating. I could see it lagging like crazy. Irene, are you there? I hear a faint something, but I can't hear you. Oh, she left. I don't know if it disconnected her or she left. All right, we're taking the next person. I don't know what is going on with the internet right now. Daniela, how are you?
Hi, Isaiah. Let me mute this real quick.
Yeah, no problem. Because I'm in now.
Okay. Hi, Isaiah.
How are you?
Good to be here. I'm good. Thank you. And you?
Good. Where are you calling in from?
Calling you from Jamaica, actually.
Jamaica. Awesome. What's going on today?
Yeah. So I know you said something earlier about dreams, but real quick, I'm just trying to understand. I had two separate dreams, two different dreams where I was almost stabbed in both of them. And I'm just trying to, well, I would ask you, what kind of message do you think is coming out of those dreams?
You were in where?
So in both dreams, I was almost stabbed.
Oh, almost stabbed. I thought you said you were in a certain country. So you were almost stabbed in the dream. And then what, you just woke up right before you got stabbed?
Yeah. So in the first dream, I actually managed to somehow wrestle the knife away from my attacker. And I was jabbing at under their foot. It was weird and pretty traumatic. But yeah, I was jabbing at under their foot. So I managed to like cut my attacker or get them back. And I think maybe something else happened after that before I woke up. And in my second dream, I managed to get the knife from my attacker and I was holding it at their throat, like I was about to slash their throat, but I didn't want to because, I don't know, that would be traumatic for me to slice someone's throat. I know it sounds gory. I'm sorry if yeah, it sounds
it got graphic. It got intense really fast.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, that's what happened.
Okay. Here's the thing about dreams. I believe God speaks through dreams. I believe dreams are biblical. We see dreams through the Bible. I have teachings on dreams. I have teachings on how to interpret your dreams. All of that. I'm 100% in support of God speaking through dreams. But just like everything else, the enemy also speaks through dreams. And we also have dreams that mean nothing. So it's like, does God speak? Yes. But so does my neighbor. So does my kids. So does my friends at school. Just because somebody's speaking to me, like if I go to a drive-thru, yeah, the person at the drive-thru is speaking to me. So just because someone's speaking doesn't mean it's always God. And dreams are the same way. There's so many voices and other variables. Like I've said in the past, if you watch, let's say, a crime documentary before bed, okay? And you're watching like whatever, the first 48 hours or something. And then you're watching crime documentaries and then you go to bed and you're like, I had this dream that I was a detective or I had a dream that I got murdered. What is God saying? To me, it's like, it's probably not God. It's probably just because you stayed up late watching the first 48 hours. And that's not about you. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes dreams have to do with what we're thinking about, what we're going through.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a fear. Like, I literally still have dreams to this day of me being late to class or having a test I forgot to turn in. And that was a huge fear when I was in college, you know, what, 10, 13 years ago? I haven't been in college in 13 years. Secular college 13 years ago. And I still once every like 6 months have a dream that my math test isn't turned in. That was a fear of mine. Like I wasn't going to turn in a test. I know weird, but I was a weirdo. So that I don't wake up and go like, oh Lord, I just think like, oh, I probably just had a dream that of an old fear of mine or something like that. There are times though, I do have dreams where I feel like I wake up and say, Lord, is that you? And I'll feel like God is speaking to me. For example, a few days ago, I'll be careful how I say this because I got to just be careful how I say this. But a few days ago, I was praying about an event that I committed to. And I basically said, Lord, if you want me to do this event, will you give me a confirmation tonight? Speak to me about the event, right? If you want me to do it or if you don't want me to do it. And then I had a vivid dream. I was at that event. I was preaching at the event. The fire of God was landing on people and it was like revival broke out. Okay. So I woke up the next day, text the person was like, I'm going to be there. Right. Because I had a confirmation dream. I knew the dream was from God. I woke up and I felt like that was God answering what I was asking. So there are times where God does speak and confirm in dreams. But there's a lot of times where our dreams are just our own flesh, our own thoughts. Like, I think last night I had a dream that I was getting like something done to my teeth. And I woke up and I literally prayed when I woke up. I said, Lord, was that you? Because God could speak that way. But I felt like the Lord was like, no, that was just your own dream. And I'm like, oh, okay, move on. Right. I had a dream that was at the dentist, whatever. It wasn't God's dream. So that's where dreams do get tricky. Really, the only person I could say that would know is you, whether it was from God or not. And that's where you kind of have to just pray, write it down, pray into it and say, Lord, what does this mean? Is there danger coming? Is this somebody that like I'm in a relationship with that's going to backstab me? Is this like a connection, a friend or family? Sometimes maybe if you have a dream like that, you'll know the person that's trying to stab you and you're like, hey, maybe they're trying to stab me in the back. I don't know. You know, these are things you pray about, you look into, but yeah, I don't know that that would be something where it's God. If you're, especially if like you're holding a knife to someone's throat, I kind of think like, part of me goes like, I don't know if God would, you know, in your dream, have you holding a knife to someone's throat if it's a dream from him. And if it's not a dream from God, then we just disregard it. Like, all right, move on. I'm not gonna waste my time praying about it or writing it down. It just wasn't from God. I'm gonna kind of move on that dream.
Yeah, it's so weird too, because like you said, that would be weird if it was from God for me to be holding a knife to someone's throat. And it was a stranger too, like both my attackers were strangers. I did those dreams that I had like a month ago, and I think it was 2 days ago. So I'm just trying to figure out what it may be connected to. My mom actually had a stroke. She's admitted in a hospital right now. First time she's ever had a stroke. Also my dreams are, it's like the first time I've ever remembered dreams that vividly. And I'm just trying to work out like, these seem like it feels like a warning in some sense that maybe some attack, because I normally never have dreams like that. Never remember them if I have them. And yeah. I remember what you were saying about the movies too, like what you watch before bed. I was being very cautious about what I was watching before going to sleep, especially when the first one happened. I was like, no more. You know, no, well, I don't watch scary movies, but I was cautious about what I was watching, before bed, just to rule that out.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm trying to pinpoint now what else it may be connected to. Say my mom had a stroke, and at the same time, I'm actually going through a sort of journey, reaffirming my faith, reaffirming how the Bible was translated from, for example, the New Testament translated from Greek to English. And because there are some questions coming up in terms of what I thought I knew and believed about my faith, you know, reading scripture for what it is. But you always hear a person say, oh, for example, they're like, this word wasn't translated correctly to English from the Greek. So this is what it actually means. And so that brought questions to my mind. Okay, let me just do my own research, translating from Greek to English to figure out what the Bible truly says. And so I'm kind of on that journey. I know I'm saying a lot right now, but
oh, you're fine.
Those are the things that are happening right now that I'm reflecting on to see maybe it's connected to one of those things.
Yeah, and it could be. And that's something where, you know, for me, the best time to find out is when you wake up from the dream. How did you feel? If you're like terrified, soaking wet in sweat, it's likely, in my opinion, I could be wrong. And again, I want to make sure everyone knows that I could be wrong on these things. These are just my own thoughts and my own opinions. Is oftentimes I'm like, okay, it probably wasn't from God. If I woke up terrified, soaking wet and sweat, it probably wasn't from God. It was probably from the enemy. It was probably from a demon. It was probably from myself. But if it's like, I felt peace, I felt clarity, I remembered it clearly, then it's likely that it was from God. But definitely continue to pray into these things. Be vigilant. You're learning, I'm learning, we're all learning. The dream realm is a very mysterious place. Dreams are very mysterious. I don't think anybody truly fully understands them. I do know and believe God speaks in them. I do know God can also enter into our dreams, which is in the Bible, but I would just say keep learning and keep being vigilant, writing these things down, and God will give you the revelation and the wisdom to these.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep praying about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Daniela, for calling in.
Yeah. All right, you have a good one.
God bless you. Take care. Good question. Dreams are very hard to navigate. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about today on the car ride home because I had a dream last night. I was at a dentist and I was getting some operation on my teeth. And
I was like, I know people have said, if you have dreams of your teeth getting worked on, it means you feel like you're out of control. But it's like, really, is that what it means? You know, I literally one time, guys, I'm not even lying. I made a video about the possibility of like, if this is in your dream, this is what it means. I made the video. I recorded the video and then I deleted the video because I'm like, this isn't always the case. Like I made the video and then I thought, well, what if somebody thinks that this is always the way it is? Like if you have a dream about you're at the dentist, it means you're out of control. Then everybody thinks when they dream that they're out of control, when in reality, dreams are not, they're fluid. They don't always mean the same thing. So that's why I've never put out a video saying, if you have a snake in your dream, it means this. If you have teeth in your dream, it means this. If you get burned by hot water making top ramen, it means this. It's like, does it really always mean that? That's why I'm worried about when we lock in, this is what this number means. This is what this color means. It's possible it could mean that, but it doesn't always mean that. So there's my one of the videos I deleted. There's others. Maybe I'll share in the future. But yeah, there's that. All right, let's take in the next caller here. All right, Jenny, you can turn your mic on whenever. Guys, remember, in 30 minutes, we have a monthly partner prayer call. So if you want to become a monthly partner, you can on YouTube or the website, and then you'll get a link to that weekly prayer call. We do it every single week. Jenny, whenever you can, turn your mic on, and we'll get you on here. I think you means you have fear of the dentist. I was just at the dentist yesterday. Well, actually, I was at the orthodontist yesterday, but I should probably get in the dentist soon now that I think about it. Jenny, if you can, if you have a mic, turn your mic on. Right now, you're in the call, but you have no microphone on. First live in a year? Caleb, we miss you, brother. Where have you been? All right, Jenny, whenever you can. 1 minute warning. Turn your mic on. There's a snake in my boot in my dream, right? Jenny, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, where are you calling in from?
I want to say sorry. I think it didn't bother.
Oh, I cannot hear you. You're very quiet. Do you have the mic far away?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, where are you calling in from?
Oh, I want to say sorry. I did it wrong when I joined on the video. I didn't know that U.S. caller is supposed to call from the phone. I joined Zoom right away.
Oh, it's fine. No worries.
Okay. Hi. Oh, I'm calling from California.
Awesome. What's going on today?
Oh, I'm just going to give a little background to the question I had. My father-in-law, he's been having problems for 12 years. He's actually, possessed. He doesn't manifest,
manifest.
Yes, he doesn't manifest as badly as before, as I was told, but he says that he has a legion and he really needs help. And I'm sorry, it's because it's been really hard on him. And we've been taking his pastors and they either give up on him or they can't help him. And it gets to the point that he wants to give up. And which is just my question is, do you know someone that could deliver him? Because he really needs help.
So you're saying your mic's cutting out a little bit. You're saying your father-in-law says he has a legion of demons and he's manifesting. Yes. You've been taking him to different pastors and they keep giving up on him. And then you're asking where
one pastor. She was helping him, but sadly she passed away like 2 months ago.
Oh, she passed away. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And where are you guys located? Have you checked our deliverance map?
Yeah, we're checking it out, but we don't know because we don't want to delusion him because he's been going to other places and trying to help him, but we don't want to give him hopes and what if they can't help him. We just want to know if there's someone you know, like truly trust that it could help him because he really needs help.
So you're saying you don't want to give him false hope and like tell him he can get delivered if he doesn't get, he's not. Is he a Christian?
Yeah, he is. He accepted Jesus like 3 years ago.
And where are you located in California?
In the city of Stanson.
Stanson?
Yes.
Where is that at? Is that Southern California?
Yeah, it's in Orange County.
Okay, we have, I was going to say in Southern California, we literally have, I'll tell you right now because I'm going to open up the deliverance map. We have so many people in Southern California. I think we have like over 150 just in Southern California. So I would say, you know, I'm like 6 hours away from Southern California. I thought, you know, maybe you're in this area. I'm probably 6 hours away. I would definitely recommend reaching out to people on the map. Man, we have a lot of people on the map. I'm on it right now. Let me see. Southern California. Let me load it. I would say your best bet is going to be reaching people on the map. Yeah, we have like at least 100 people in Southern California on the map. There's even a few churches as well. Like I see a church here in Ontario that's on the map. I would definitely reach out to a few people in here and see if they can meet up with him and pray for him. That's going to be your best bet. For something like that, I would get in-person deliverance as opposed to, you know, trying to do it like on a Zoom or a call or anything like that. I would get in-person deliverance. And I think the map's going to be your best bet on that.
Oh, okay. Do you know someone that specifically that could probably help him pretty good or something?
I don't know anybody in Orange County or that area specifically, like that I know personally. Let me think. Do you have an email I can reach out to you on?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Let me mute us. Give me a second, okay? I'm going to mute both of us so the stream can't hear your email. Hold on. Praying for you.
Thank you so much.
All right,
thank
God bless you. Take care. All right, Southern California. We're going to see if I can find somebody in that area for her to take her father-in-law to get deliverance. Yeah, I muted. I muted myself. That's why you couldn't hear me. We have over 150 people in Southern California on the deliverance map, and I know there's a lot of good people out there, so I highly recommended her check there, but I'm also going to think about and look around on the map and see if I know anyone personally that can meet up with her in Orange County. Yeah, I muted myself to get her personal email. All right, we only have two more people. Time is at 1:04. Okay, we have two more people. Let me try to take these two people here. All right. You have no name, but if you can hear me, turn your mic on. Our internet is finally working good again, which is unfortunate because we lost so many people with the disconnects. All right. If you can hear me, turn your microphone on. You are in the call. Hello. Hello. Someone said Legacy Church in Orange County. Hope she sees the comment. So there you go. Legacy Church in Orange County. All right, I'm going to give you one more minute to turn your mic on. You have no name or else I would say your name, but everybody's saying Legacy Church, Orange County. Must be a good church. Already two different people said Legacy Church in Orange County. The wait music for Isaiah's number is fire, by the way. Wait, what? Oh, what music is it? It's on Zoom. They do it, not me. All right. I gave you 2 minutes. I had to remove you. Guys, if I take your call on Zoom, you got to turn your microphone on. I'm not trying to be rude, but if you don't turn your microphone on, I can't hear you talk. That's just the bottom line. Take it to the last caller here. Teresa Rose, you have not received anything. If you want to, oh, I guess you can't type your email.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
How are you?
I'm all right. You?
Good. Where are you calling in from?
England, UK.
England. What's up, man? What time is it there?
9.
9 a.m. or 9 p.m.?
P.m.
Wow. Okay. It's 1 p.m. here, so you guys are 8 hours ahead. What's going on?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm a YouTube, I'm a Christian content creator, and I was hoping we could collab on a video.
Maybe. What's your channel?
Oh, at D Shiseki, DSHUSEKI.
DSHU what?
SEKI.
DS. Okay, hold on. Respell the whole thing again. Sorry, I accidentally just deleted it. My notes.
Okay, DSH.
Okay.
USE.
Okay.
USEKI. At D Shiseki. Yeah.
And that's on YouTube or TikTok or what?
Both, really.
Okay. I'll check your stuff out and then I'll let you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Is that all you wanted to ask?
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts on do you think Christians that don't believe in the Holy Spirit are Christians?
Oh, man. No, I don't think so. I don't believe in the Trinity. Yeah, I don't think you could even be saved if you don't believe or believe in the Holy Spirit. Because that would be the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I can't even forgive that sin. You know, it's the denial. It's attributing the work of Satan to the work of the Holy Spirit, denying the Holy Spirit, which is equally God as the Father and the Son. So, yeah, I would say if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Because I made a video on the Trinity, so I just wanted to make sure.
I'll check your stuff out, though. All right, man?
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Take care. All right, guys. We are an hour in? I'm going to hang out and talk to the chat for a few minutes. Oh, it's 1:08. Okay. We're going to go like 5 minutes talking to the chat, and then we are going to gear up and do our prayer call. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.